Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with
John Campbell, a luxury real estate agent and an estate director. Now, John has a job that I'm sure many are extremely envious of. I know I am. If you follow John on LinkedIn, you'll know his life looks like it should have its own Netflix series, working and living over in Los Angeles. The guest on today's podcast is Mr. John Campbell. Welcome.
Thanks very much. What an introduction. How'd you live up to that?
Well, there we go. We'll see. I'm sure you will live up to it. Right, John, I want you to kick us off. Now, my dad can get very easily confused. So imagine you're going to explain what you do in a nutshell to my dad, who gets easily confused.
Yeah. I would help your dad buy or sell a property anywhere in California, but we're generally focused on the LA area. And I would help him buy and sell any type of property, whether it be a condo, a flat, a house, an investment property, or even a commercial property, or anything in between. So I'm going to help and assist him buy or sell the property here.
So what's the process for that like? Is he going to call you up and say, John, I want to buy a house, I need your help? Or are you talk us through like how you find your clients and what's like the sales process of finding someone and then getting them moved into that house?
Yeah, well, the market right now is insane because interest rates are record lows. They just notched up a little bit. I don't know what it's like in the UK right now, but here in the States, in Cali, the interest rates are around 3.5%. So it's very cheap money, and the different parts of the market are reacting differently. So you could have 10, 20 offers on one property. We submitted an offer for somebody yesterday, and there was 50 offers on it, on like a little condo, a little flat for somebody. But the process would be, there's many, many different ways. So what differentiates how business is done here to how it's done in the UK is like in the UK, you would, you walk into your dad would walk into probably his local estate agent and say, I'm looking to sell my house. What do you think it's worth? And then the estate agent would go around there, walk through, give him what he feels is a fair valuation. He might get it appraised and they'll put it on the market and they'll most likely find him a buyer. In the States, in California anyway, same, if someone's looking to sell their house, that could be the process. Or let's imagine it's your dad, chances are you might refer him to me, right? So you need to speak to JC. The fella seems to know what he's doing. So it could be a referral from a friend or a former client or something along those lines. But that will probably not be enough to live on because it's all completely commission-based out here. So commissions sound very rosy on the outside. I think in the UK it's about a 2 or 3% commission on a house. Yeah. Out here it's more like 5 or 6%, but that can go down if it's a higher price point property. But there's no conveyancing solicitors. So the agent does all of the paperwork. So you've got the whole sales side, then you've got the whole legal side once you get into contract. And then the buyer. So if he's looking to sell his house, it'll be the same process. And then we would evaluate it for him. And then we would offer strategies to get him top dollar. So we would get him to maybe give the house a lot more curb appeal. So he might do some landscaping if it was required. He would probably declutter the place, move all the pictures of you lot out when you were kids or whatever. maybe a lick of paint to make it light, bright and fresh. In an ideal world, we would stage it if we felt we needed staging. Then we would shoot crazy drone videos, high-class photography, Matterport 3D walkthroughs, so that anybody anywhere in the world, with one click, would get a really good feel of that property. And that can differentiate different agents, their marketing approach. And in digital media, anyway, to go back to your questions, if he's looking to sell, that would be the process. If he's looking to buy, the best thing he can do is go and get himself an agent first, a buyer's agent, and over here he could represent buyers or sellers, and then have them help him with the search, because they're going to, someone's going to have to handle the contracts on his side of things. He could go with a listing agent, but a listing agent's loyalties is really to his client and seller. So it doesn't cost him anything for the buyer's agent. It all comes from the seller's end, and have him help him negotiate the sale. Same if it's an investment property or even a commercial asset, you know, if that makes sense.
So, John, I want to jump in on the next question. It's probably a tricky one. I mean, before we started, you were telling me about your life, and it sounds like you might have had the most colourful life I've ever heard. So this is probably going to put you on the spot a bit, this question.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm writing a book. It's been interesting.
But if you were, if you're at the top of Blackpool Tower and you're looking out over your life, all the different landmarks represent the different achievements, where would you say is the best achievement or the one that you're most proud of?
You know what, I can answer that really easily, actually. Oh my God, there's my wife.
You're the busiest man in LA, aren't you?
And that's it, you talk to Stephanie, if you can. So, very easy, and it all ties in fantastically. So my greatest achievement by miles is I was brought up by an old couple. I never met my biological parents, and they brought me up from when I was like 6 weeks old. It's a mad, I won't get deep into it. I was stolen from a kid's home. It's a mad story, but it will take the rest of this podcast to even scrape the surface. But an old couple took me on. They'd already had 10 kids of their own, and they brought me up. They were kind of like my grandparents. And then at the end of the 80s, showing my age, at the end of the 80s, there was that program where you could buy your council house, right? So I grew up in very blue collar, they would call it over here, very working class roots. And me old mum and dad managed to cobble the money together to buy their council house. And then my old dad, instead of paying the mortgage, spent his money giving down the betting shop on the horses and the dogs. So suddenly, at that point, I was 21 years old. I was working in, I was a boxer, as we mentioned, and I was a bricklayer, I was working in construction. And suddenly my aged parents are going to lose their house. So it was like time to, you know, grow up. And so I managed to get a mortgage. And back then, I got a mortgage. Mortgage rates went up to, it was end of the 80s, there was a mad recession. And mortgage rates went up to 15.4%. And I managed to get a fixed rate of 13.5% and thought I'd had a result, you know? So cut long story short, I bought my parents' house for them and left them in it. And all my friends were builders. So we worked on it for like 6-8 weeks and we just made it perfect. We put in central heating, we decorated the whole place. And we did, I was a bricklayer, so I built porches and block paving, and we just made this little council house really shine. And then at the end of that, I actually moved from Colchester and Essex back to London, which was my roots. And I thought I was going to turn pro and have this big boxing career. That didn't quite work out, and I found myself in the world of entertainment. But that was my introduction to real estate. So my greatest achievement by far, buying a house for my parents. And it taught me responsibilities of mortgage and real estate and all of that. But it also taught me that the house appreciated over time, and houses generally appreciate about 10%. Over a 10-year cycle, houses generally appreciate around 10% a year. So in 10 years from now, your house should be worth, can't guarantee that, but generally it's worth, you know, 100% more than what you bought it for. And it taught me all of that. So it really was like, you could almost call it karmic. So it's by far my greatest achievement. And I've done a lot of stuff that we've barely scratched the surface of. But it's paid, if that was my introduction to real estate, it's paid me back, you know, tenfold, hundredfold.
Yeah. And what one thing I wanted to ask you about, John, is people that I've spoken to about real estate, and especially in California and things like that, people that have kind of seen these programs and stuff like that, the big thing that they say, and I think because obviously we talk about sales and things like that, I'd really like to get like your sales cap on from this. A lot of people say that, well, those properties sell themselves, so no one, you just need someone to show them around. You know that's not true. So what, in terms of sales, what would you say that you bring to the table? What do you have to do when you're selling these houses, I guess?
Yeah, well, you've from the from a buyer for the buyers, but you need to know the market. So if someone's buying, you'll represent a buyer. But now finding when you can, we have access to stuff off market and all of that. But for you, everything is online. The whole world is online. So chances are they may find the house for themselves. There's sites over here. There's, I'm not sure what you've got there right now, but like Zillow, Redfin, Trulia. There's a bunch of different ones where they're all fed from the MLS, the multiple listing service. So we take a listing, we put in the MLS, and it goes out to over 300 sites. And we have it go out to thousands of others nationally and internationally through the corporate network. But chances are, I've had listings in LA and in people in London on Sotheby's or something. I've gone, oh, so I just saw that house that you're selling in Beverly Hills. And I've gone, yeah, you know, we've got these networks, it goes out everywhere. So to get a buy, the mark, so my first mortgage, 13.5%, right? In LA, literally right now, mortgages are somewhere around 3.5% or 3 to 3.5% ish. So it's the money is so cheap. So it's tough to get into a mortgage. Lending is much tougher now since 2008.
Yeah.
But now you might have to beat out 10 offers. We wrote an offer yesterday, 50 offers on the house, 50. So one is I can get a lot more information than the consumer may see the house on the site. I can get a lot more information from where I will look at the site from the access we have. And then I can see all the red flags. There's private remarks and I can go on public records. So I'm bringing my expertise to the table. Has it got liens against it? Has it got, as a developer, or are there any problems with the property? Is there a mechanics lien over here? Has there been a contractor who never got paid 3 months back? Is Auntie Flo going to come out of the woodwork and say it was her house? Is it a clean title? Has there been a foundation problem on that house before? Has there been a fire, a natural hazard, the flood, a landslide, an earthquake? Has there been, there's a million other things that we're trying to find out, as well as recommending, we recommend the inspections, we do various inspections before a buyer buys a house. So we're giving references to contractors, inspectors. You could have a handful of inspections, you might have 20 inspections, who knows, you know? So you're sourcing the property, finding the property, doing all the paperwork, negotiating the deal, presenting the offer in a way that would be more appealing to the seller. So you have these, there's no conveyancing business here, so we deal with the contracts. And the RPA, the buyer's contract, is about 17 pages long, and it's like a boilerplate, in fact, they just changed it. But there's a million ways. It's like you're playing poker. It's like you're playing poker on a tightrope above a burning fire, trying to buy real estate in LA. And how you present your offer and who's presenting the offer. If an offer's coming from me, it might be taken a lot more seriously than it is from someone who's brand new or doesn't have, you know, established their reputation. And then there's a bunch of different contingencies within the offer. How long is the inspection period? Is it cash? Is it financed? Is it not? Is there a loan contingency? Does it need to be appraised? So there's different ways of gamesmanship within how you present that offer. And, you know, we get offers that come in, there's spelling mistakes. They've ticked the wrong boxes. They haven't asked for half the things they should ask for. It's diabolical. And I'm like, wow, doing business with this person might be a problem. And you imagine I'm representing your dad, right, Jack? We go back to him. You know, for him, whether it's 500 grand or 50 million, it's probably his biggest asset, his life savings, his everything he owns may well be in that one property. So it's the stakes are the same, whether it's 500 grand, 5 million, 50 million. No one wants to lose all their worldly goods. So someone might love you to death and think you're a charming chap, but they might not want to risk you handling the biggest financial transaction of their life. Because if it messes up, they're going to be left holding the baby, you know, with no house to wash him in, maybe. Yeah. Who knows? So you're offering your expertise, your experience. And then on the selling side of things, how do you get the best market? They sell themselves, yeah, but they might not sell themselves for top dollar. In this particular market in Los Angeles, it is a seller's market, and you can have multiple offers, but that's only after some expert agent has come in and made it super appealing and recommended to have landscaping freshly painted, decluttered, repaired, possibly staged, and then hired their own videographers, photographers, 3D people, etc., and spent a ton of money on marketing digitally, print and every other way, magazines. I can show you some magazine ads that we've done, some of our listings, etc. Everything, as I sit in my desk and show. But there's a ton of different. So the reason, when they're presented correctly and marketed correctly and priced correctly, then, yeah, they sell themselves. You know, it's like trying to make it in anything, right? You're an overnight success, 10 years in the making.
I get that. I think from what you're saying, it's like as much as you can be like a lovely, charming guy, it's that trusted advisor. Like with lawyers and things like that, you want somebody that knows their stuff when they're going to kind of get into the grips of it all. John, before you sail into the sunset, okay, you've got a margarita.
Yeah, this is something we did for one of our listings. It was in like a super high end magazine over here.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
There's a place, it was like an $8 million listing. So to place an ad like that, it might be a couple of grand.
Yeah.
So $8 million listing, I know that we spent about $5,000-$6,000 just on pictures and videos. I think we spent nearly $1,000 on flowers to make the place look pretty. We put an ad in one of the leading magazines for a couple of grand. We did a bunch of digital marketing. So we probably spent about $10,000 on that particular property, you know?
It's a great return.
So do you want to use us who's going to do that? Or do you want, and we brought in our own interior designers and all the rest of it, or do you want to use your mate who just got his real estate license, who hasn't got 10 grand to spend, or the experience and expertise to put that presentation together? That's the answer, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant answer. It's a really good answer. So yeah, John, before all is said and done, and you sail into the sunset, and you've got a margarita in your hand, in terms of your
Fridays, we do margarita Fridays.
Margarita Fridays. In terms of your professional life, life in general, what have you got left? What else do you want to achieve? What do you want to go out and do?
I'd like to build this monstrous team that we're doing like hundreds of millions of dollars of transactions, not even 1 year, like, you know, year in, year out. That really, you know, and give absolutely, it's a white glove, first class service to everybody that we meet, and hopefully make them smile. You know, it can be a very stressful thing, you know, buying and selling a house is very stressful.
Yeah.
For the principals, and hopefully help ease some of that stress and make it an enjoyable experience for everyone involved, you know?
Wow. I like that. That's a nice answer from a man in real estate. Probably one that you wouldn't get from many.
it doesn't have to be knives out, everybody shouting, screaming, fighting. Generally, like the people doing that, it's just because they're inexperienced, overwhelmed, out of their depth. They're stressed. You know, they want the deal to close. They're focused. You should be focused on being of service, and then the money just comes. You know, that's the idea. Eventually, once you've learned your bones and you know what you're doing, rather than if you're focused on the end result, on the commission, whatever, it's almost like a target you never get to. It's always it's always out of reach, and people can sense it. It's like, It's you know, there's a sense of desperation, you know, which doesn't really help anybody.
No, that's a good that's good life advice for anyone who's got a target in their job. The target is just a thing that happens, and it's a byproduct of doing your job properly. So, another probably hard one for a man with a colourful life, but I'll put you on the spot. Sure. So the professor from Back to the Future knocks on your door and he says, John, I can take you back to the start.
Yeah.
And you can know what you know now. So if you go back to the start and know what you know now, what advice would you give yourself?
That's a great question. So I was in entertainment over 25 years in total. And I toured the world with my best friends and had a whale of a time. Was in every facet of entertainment. I don't know if I'd change too much of that. How do you judge wealth, right? Is it how much money you've got in the bank, or is it your life experience? Have you been where you want to be? Did you marry the girl of your dreams? Have you backpacked across Asia? Have you been all for Europe? How do you judge wealth? So I wouldn't I'd advise anybody to buy their house. I bought my first house at 21 years old, as we spoke about earlier, but actually it's never too young to start, and you've got to live somewhere. It's so hard to get into a mortgage, but not necessarily if you have the right guidance. So you've got to live somewhere. It isn't that big a deal. Nowadays, you've got Airbnb and VRBO and all these other things. Companies will manage that for you. So I believe everyone should at least own the house they live in. Now, it's not always possible, but in an ideal world, and it's never too young to start people off. So if, like, parents could give their kid a part-time job and put them to work within their company, if they've got the means, and start establishing that credit from when they're 16. So by the time they're 18, they've got proven and established line of credit. They've opened like three lines of credit, a credit card, maybe a car loan, a store card, something. Not talking about spending tons and tons of money, but all things that they're going to need anyway. Yeah. And then if that parent, family member, it's not always possible with everybody, it wasn't possible with my family, but if they could then help them be a co-signer, the hard one is getting that first one rocking and co-sign that mortgage or give them a deposit to get it rocking, then they could get into a mortgage really early and get home ownership. The house is always, if they can hang in there, it's always going to appreciate over time. And then as it appreciates, they can pull that money out and put it either upgrade or put it into another one. And put it into another one. Before you know it, you've got a little portfolio. So if I'd have done things differently, I was sort of chasing the entertainment dream for a long time. I don't know if I wouldn't have done that because I had an incredible life. I was very wealthy. I wasn't wealthy financially, but I toured over 20 countries, toured the world with my best friends, and I don't think I would trade that. But what I would have done would have been, when I bought that first house, try to get into the next and the next and the next. And if I, in an ideal world, if I could have bought one every couple of years, by the time I was 40 or 50, if I had a portfolio of even 10 houses, you could pretty much retire, and you could then tour the world and whatever floats your boat, do whatever you want to do, and the income from those properties would probably support you for the rest of your life. So if I was going to do things differently, I'd have tried to build a real estate portfolio from an early age. I'd give that advice to absolutely anybody and everybody, wherever you are, whatever you're doing for a living, whether you're working in McDonald's, Sainsbury's, or in the city, or you're a lawyer, doctor, or anything else, that's the greatest advice I'd give anybody. Get into home ownership as early as you possibly can, I stumbled into being an agent by trying to follow that course. I did own a handful of properties by the time I left the UK. And then I meant to cobble my way into a mortgage when I got here. And then I sort of stumbled into sales. And I got my license to be a better informed investor, and then I thought, well, I got my license, maybe I should try and use it, and it kind of grew from that. But it certainly wasn't easy. That's for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't.
I wouldn't change too much. Is that the short answer? Might be. I wouldn't change too much. I would have started buying and holding property earlier. I wish I'd have had a maybe an older, wiser version of me on my shoulder telling me the moves I should have made, you know, or, you know, a well-versed expert, property, family member, friend, mentor, who knows, you know?
That's the thing. Hindsight's always a beautiful thing, but it sounds like property's always in your, always been in your blood, John. It's you've lived a very colourful life for sure. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. John, if anybody wants to check you out to either hit you up about advice on properties, yeah, or they want if they're flying out to LA and they want you to show them around, or they've got a house, a big condo in Venice, they want you to help sell them, where can they check you out? What would be the best way to go about it?
Yeah, we're across all mediums. So if they Google me, John Campbell Estates, and I'm part of Corcoran Global Living, they'll get pages of everything. So
all good
Instagram,
stuff.
Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, email, you know, johncampbellestates.com is the website. But if they Google John Campbell Corcoran Global Living, they'll everything else. Google will give them a multitude of ways to be in contact. And we do have people, some deals start on a DM on Instagram. Some things start from a message on LinkedIn. Somebody I know, somebody from down the street, you know. You never quite know exactly where that next deal is going to come from. But exactly. I'm pretty easy. My number's everywhere. I'm very easy to find, yeah.
Well, hopefully we can drive some new clients to you. And I'll let my dad know. I don't think he's planning to buy out in LA anytime soon, but I'll let you know, John. Thank you very much.
Whenever he's ready. A year from now, 10 years from now, we'll still be here.
Thank you, John.
Nice one, John. Good to meet you.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.